Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
We give the glory to Jesus, don't we? He's the one that, we welcome the person who's carrying the message, but they're only carrying the message that Jesus has given them. Any morning, any evening when we have somebody come up to speak, they only bring what they feel Jesus has given them to speak. And as Faye just said, it's that anointing carrier. So, you know, you don't welcome the person. You welcome what's on inside the person. Amen? Yeah. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
We've spent a few weeks now looking at the heart, and that initial message that I brought about guard your heart, for it informs everything that you do. To start with, it was just a standalone message that God really spoke to me about this important whilst going through Proverbs and learning about from that wisdom of Solomon and learning about that, and how something just struck me about that. And then we've kind of progressed into seeing how much there's so much more about the heart and how important the heart is, and not just for the physical body, not just the physical part that plays in our structure as a human, but the spiritual nature of the heart and how it seems to be opening up more and more and more to be something that clearly shows in God's word in the Bible that it's something important that God sees as being important. Amen. So today I want to look at the words of Jesus, and today's message, we want to look at being pure of heart, being pure of heart. And it's something that we hear about being pure. It's something that comes up in the Bible quite regularly about being pure. But if you're like me, again, sometimes you'll read something and you'll think you know what it means, or you like to try and have a guess at what that might mean. But there's so much more to it when we look deeper into the heart of God to see what he wants to speak into our heart. So let's start with our first scripture. It's from Matthew 5:8. It's taken from the Beatitudes as Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and he's going through all these different ways of living, and he's talking about all these different things that are impacting to God, impacting to a person. And at this point, in verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, when I read that, I think, okay, I kind of know what being pure of heart is. It's kind of being good. It's kind of doing what God wants and being pure as I think of it. But as I've looked into it a little bit more, it opens up so much more of the nature of God in our lives. So, but first things first, in the Beatitude, the beautiful attitudes that we want to live, Jesus shows that he's concerned with our heart. And it's not enough to just clean up our act on the outside. It's an inside job. The aim of Jesus is not to just reform the manners of society. You know, sometimes we think to reform the manners of society is the goal, and that's not the goal. Jesus' goal and aim isn't to reform the manners of society, but to change the hearts of sinners like you or me. There's got to be a change of heart. A reformation isn't just a change of behaviour, it's a complete change of the person. When we read about great reformations throughout history, it's not just a change of behaviour, that's the byproduct of a changed heart. So we look at revival or reformation and we think, oh, well, it's great because people stopped drinking and people stopped doing this, but when you read about the Welsh revival, the Evan Roberts revival in 1904... with the stuff we focus on is how the miners that were getting drunk all the time all of a sudden stopped drinking, or we start to see this behaviour change. But revival is not a behaviour modification. Reformation is not a behaviour modification. That's just the byproduct of people's hearts being changed in that process. And that's a great thing to see, isn't it? The Wesleyan revival, as we see the change in society, not only at low level, but right through, in government level, low level, as them would have been called in those days, the Methodist movement was all about a changed heart. One man's changed heart, John Wesley's changed heart, impacted so many people. And it wasn't just because he lived well, it wasn't because he behaved well, it's because something had changed in his heart. For example, Jesus wouldn't be satisfied with a society in which there are no acts of adultery. just to say there's no, well, nobody's committing adultery anymore, Jesus wouldn't be happy with that. Matthew 5, 27 to 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, the heart is what you are. We saw this when we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. That the heart is who you are in the secrecy of your thought and your feeling. Now, I don't know about you, but that's enough to put the fear of God in me. I think it doesn't matter how many people think this way. God really knows how I am. God really knows. And when no one else is looking, God sees. And that's how we need to live, knowing that the things we hide from other people, God still sees. And we've got to have that same heart that Michelangelo had when painting the Sistine Chapel, where he put as much detail into the dark corners as he did the bits that were in full view. And when everybody was saying to him, why are you spending so much time on that bit? Nobody's going to see it. And his response was, God sees it. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And to have that heart which says, if we just put a good show on, but still in here, what God sees isn't right, then we're still not quite getting to that place of being pure of heart. What you are and how the invisible root looks matters as much as to God as the visible branch. The root needs to be in good condition. The root needs to look as good as the branch that everybody sees. 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, or looks on the heart. Because from the heart, everything flows. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, guard your heart, because everything comes from it. It informs everything that you do. Matthew 15, 18 to 19. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. And these are what defile a man. So we can see that when we have a heart that's turned to God, good things come forth. But when our heart turns from God, it can also inform those evil things to come forth from our life as well, because it puts forward everything. So our heart is crucial to Jesus. There's so much talk about it. Old Testament, New Testament, heart, heart, heart. It's coming up all the time. But this whole thing about being of pure heart and what we are in the deep private areas of our lives is what he cares about the most. That's what he cares about. That's what God sees, not what everybody else sees. The way we are when someone else is not looking. And those are the kinds of people that I just love, those people. Those are the people that I want around me. Those are the people that I want in my life. Not just the ones that are able to put a good performance on, but the ones that are not bothered about when somebody's looking. They're doing those little things that nobody notices, because their heart is so to God that they're not looking for an audience of man. They're looking for an audience of one, their creator God. Yeah. You know, as at the men's session on Tuesday, I was talking about the heart of a warrior. And now God has placed that warrior heart of his nature on the inside of men in particular. And how some people, and I was talking about two different natures that God may call people to, but there's the warrior that's more of a gladiator. That yes, their heart's towards God, but they're in the arena. They're up front. They're on show for everybody to see. They're the ones that everybody sees their exploits. Everybody sees what's happening when they're preaching, when they're on telly, when they're doing crusades. But then there's the ones that, there's the warriors that are more like the assassins that nobody sees. They're kind of like, they're the ones that are there. They're doing something amazing. They're doing something in the dark and bringing light into that place. And nobody sees it and nobody recognizes it, but God does. God sees those people that shut themselves away and pray. God sees those people that are faithfully working and sometimes never get a thanks from anybody else. But know that God is seeing their heart and seeing what they're doing, because that's what he looks at. He looks deep into the heart of the person. Jesus didn't come when he came to simply remove the world of its bad habits. You know, there's so much in the Christian walk these days that seems to be more about behaviour modification than a changed heart. And it's like, okay, if you're living this way and you're doing this, then it's okay. But still to have that place of the heart not being right with God. He didn't come to break bad habits. He didn't come to fix bad habits. He came because he could see that we had such dirty hearts and we needed to be purified. And he was the only one who could do that. Not just to make us good people, but to purify our hearts to that place of being so pure before God. But only a work of him could do that. So you kind of like, you hear all that stuff, and if like me, you kind of think, you know, well, if that's the case, if Jesus is saying pure of heart, then who is able to be pure of heart? Who can be pure of heart? And that the answer's simple, you and I can, but not by our own efforts. We have the ability to be pure of heart, but not by our own efforts. It has to be a work of Jesus. I can be pure of heart, you can be pure of heart. But it helps to understand what that statement means, how that looks, and what Jesus was really getting at when he said, blessed are the pure of heart, because they will see God. So, a little bit of an equation. Here's how it works. We come to God poor in spirit. We see ourselves as we really are. We mourn for our condition. And then like the psalmist, we pray in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The psalmist has to cry out to God, create in me a clean heart or a pure heart. And as we do that, when we recognize the need for that, then God can go to work. There's nothing worse than trying to get somebody to change that doesn't think they need to change, is there? You know, and you can't change anybody. There's to say that you can help, you can invest, but you're never going to get anybody to change of your own efforts. You know, so many wives try to do that with their husbands, don't they? It's okay. I kind of see how he is now, but I will change him. And in a few years of marriage, he'll be the perfect husband. You know, if you married the perfect husband on the day you got married, okay? if you wanted the perfect husband how you see it, then you would have to go against everything God says and marry another woman. And I wouldn't recommend that, because that's going directly against God and what God has to say. But you know what I mean? It's kind of a bit different, isn't it? You know, the floss stains on the mirror that I always get in trouble. It's like, point your mouth to the sink or into the bath when you're flossing your teeth. Don't do it in the mirror. So it always plings off, doesn't it? There's always something. It's like, oh, wipe it afterwards, don't worry. Or there's kind of vacuum cleaning. You know, so there's a wife's way of vacuum cleaning. There's a wrong way of vacuum cleaning. And then there's your wife's way of doing it, isn't there? And a man's way of doing it. You know, I'm thankful, actually, because God's blessed me with a kind of a bit of grace in vacuuming properly. I've seen how some people do it here, some of the guys afterwards, and bless you for serving. But it's like, how can there be more bits on the carpet than when you started? Have you emptied the Henry bag on the carpet? And, you know, it's just, but that's just the way that is. And, you know, it's, you know, that pure of heart is something that we can get from God. And in our culture, we often refer to the heart as the center of emotion. And we often refer to the mind as the center of the intellect. But in the Hebrew culture, the heart referred to everything. There was no separation. The heart was the center point of emotion and intellect. The heart was the very center of personality. And I know a couple of weeks ago I mentioned on this, you know, I talked about this, about how the heart is the very nature of the person. And how there's, you know, there's those people say that when they've had a heart transplant, there's like memories of the previous person come with it, and
as I said, it's not medically proven, but people have stories of that. So it kind of links in with that Hebrew culture view of the heart, doesn't it? That it's the very person. It's the centre of emotions as well as the mind. And that includes the thinking process. That includes the thinking process. So often we think of our minds being the information point for our thinking process. But if we're going to believe what the scripture says and that guard your heart because it informs everything you do, then there's a step before that which comes from the heart. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. But you're able to think in your heart. That's interesting, isn't it? Because so often we think about thinking from our head. But according to that, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As your heart turns to something, it's how you are. So the heart is the centre of who you are. This means that with all your being, you should be pure. So if you are pure of heart, then everything else that's informed from that is pure. So you are pure through and through. Not with a purity that the world sees, but a purity in the way Jesus sees that. And a purity in the way that Jesus gives, not the way that the world gives. The Hebrew word for heart is cardia, which is where we get our word cardiac. And it basically means it's the person, the very centre of both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities. Informs all of those things. Informs them all. So that's the heart. What about pure? So Jesus says to be pure of heart. And I was looking quite a bit into pure. And the best translation that I found was not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. Single or focused. Pure. So pure gold has all the impurities burnt out of it. It's just pure. Pure drink is just the pure as it is. And the purity isn't mixed with something else. It's not mingled with anything else. So pure basically means not mixed with something else. Single and focused. So to be pure of heart means to have a single-minded devotion to Jesus. The purity that he talks about is a single-minded devotion to him. It's not being married with something else. It's not being competitive with something else. It's having that single-minded, pure devotion to Jesus. And as I was researching this a bit more, I came across a book which was called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing, is the title of the book, which is a great definition, provided that that one thing is the glory of God. Because we can have pureness of heart towards something else, but it's not the purity that Jesus is talking about. We can be single-minded and focused on something else, but it's not what Jesus is looking for. Okay, so I'm going to unpick a few different points from the Bible and different people and what they've got to say on this matter. So it's very rare that I'll bring a message and not have something informed by King David. So here we go. Here's David. And if it's not David, it's his son Solomon. So it's kind of like, I do read other parts of the Bible, by the way, and I am inspired by other members of the faith and in the Bible. It's just, I don't know, David and Solomon seem to just come up a lot in the stuff that I go through with God. But according to David, so let's try and open it up a little bit more from this scripture. And we start with the closest Old Testament parallel to the Beatitude that we started with, which is Psalm 24, verses 3-4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. So we can see what David means by a pure heart here by the phrases that follow him saying, pure heart, clean hands. A pure heart is a heart that has nothing to do with falsehood and is truthful and free from deceit. A pure heart that doesn't lift up false idols, a pure heart that doesn't have deceit. So David gives us a good picture there. Deceit is what we do when we will two things, when we don't have single-mindedness. We will to do one thing, and you will that people will think you're doing another, putting on a bit of an act. You will to feel one thing, and you will that people will think you're feeling another. And that's deceitful. It's trying to give off something that you are not, and that's dangerous to live such a way, because when we live with honesty and openness, we actually open ourselves up to the help that we need. We need people to help us, don't we? One of the things that Faye brought a couple of weeks ago was that need for one another, and was that need to be honest and be helpful to each other in that. And that impurity is always able to be turned round to a place where a purity of heart and that one thing in our heart says, I want to seek the face of the Lord. That purity of heart that just drums and says, I want to seek the face of the Lord. Above all things, I don't want to give off a persona. I don't want people thinking one way when I'm actually being this way. Or I don't want people to think I'm feeling this way when actually I'm feeling this way. And sometimes that's difficult because you kind of think, can I really say what I think? You know, use wisdom on that is what I would say. Be wise, okay? Husbands, well, be wise with what you say. Because, you know, sometimes, yes, you have to be honest, but there's a way of going about these things. Yeah. With your friends, there's a way of going about these things. So don't be taking this as an excuse saying, well, Pastor Shane says we've got to be honest. So after church, you're going up to everybody like, don't like your shirt, you're doing my head in. You're like, you know, that's not what I'm saying, okay? Please understand that. I'm not giving you free-for-all freedom to do that. If you do, if somebody cracks you, I'm not responsible. Okay, that's the small print there. But as we do that, as we start to seek the face of God with that single-mindedness, what sets us up as pure of heart also increases that purity as well, because we start to see that nature grow even more. Here, let's see what someone else has got to say about this. This is according to James, the brother of Jesus. And you can see this idea of purity in James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double mind. Notice that, just like in Psalm 24, there's a reference to both clean hands and pure heart as preparation for drawing near to God. You know, there's that purification that needs to take place to draw near to God and come into that place. Hence in why God had to turn his face away from the Saviour when the sin of the world was put upon him. Because at that point, the one who had known nothing but purity took the sin of the world and was no longer pure. And God had to turn his face away, which is the most, for me, the most catastrophic thing of the passion of Jesus. Not the physical side, but the spiritual side of the Son, who had never been separate from the Father, because the impurity of the world was put on him. For the first time in eternity, the face of God, the Father, had to turn away from the face of the Son. Such is the importance of a pure heart. Such is the importance of purity. And I can never comprehend that, what that must have felt like to Jesus the Son for that moment, and for God the Father to have to do it. You never want to have to turn your face away from your children, do you? Never want to have to do that. But at that moment, such is the importance of purity. But when we have that pure mind, when we have that pure heart, we're able to draw near to God or ascend the hill of the Lord, as Psalm 23 refers to that as. But notice how the men are described who need to purify their hearts. Men of double mind. Men of double mind. And we see that the men of double mind will two things, not just one. They're split. Their heart is split. Double-minded, double thinking, double commitment. Okay, I'm kind of committed to Jesus. I'm kind of committed to God. But I'm also allowing an impurity, which lifts up some of that to something else as well. And the impurity of double-mindedness is explained a little bit earlier by James in chapter 4, verse 4. Some of the stuff that you read, you're like, it makes you feel uncomfortable. So status, unfaithful creatures. Never wanted anybody say that to you, do you? Do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, just to say, that's not saying, like, don't have friends that don't know Jesus. That then would never fulfill what we're supposed to be doing, would we? But it's don't go after the things of the world. Yes, we see people, we work with people who don't know Jesus. We hang out with people who don't know Jesus, and we should do that. But it's taking on the lifestyle of the world, which we shouldn't be taking on. In this situation, it's referring to people taking on a lifestyle. You know, I see so often people that put themselves in a situation, in a world situation, saying, well, I'm doing it because I want to try and help and change people. And you kind of think, well, be wise. I've seen so many people put themselves in situations and then crumble because they didn't operate in wisdom. They put themselves in a situation where they were wanting to reach the person, but in the process married to the worldly way in the process and got dragged into something which God never intended them to get into. But yes, we need to connect with people. Yes, we need to connect with a hurt world, but we don't need to live in the world's ways because we have a pure heart, which stands out in that situation. Nothing like a believer in the midst of a room of people that don't know Christ. They do shine like a light. Yeah. Something just gives off. A Christian in a workplace who's living that pure heart and is operating in such a way just shows something to people, just shows something to those people in that place that's different. Why don't you swear? How come you're always on time? How come you're always the last to leave? It's all this pureness of heart that's living in such a way, not just people that work there, but Christian bosses as well, that treat their staff in such a respectful way, that honour their staff in such a respectful way, speaks volumes. Standing up for that pureness of heart in that setting and not becoming a friend with the world's ways, but being able to do just as Jesus did and being right in those places, but still standing in that place of purity and seeing God go to work and not having that double-minded way of thinking. So a double-minded man of verse 8 has his heart divided between the world and God. Almost like a wife who has a husband and a boyfriend. Somebody's going to lose out. It's just never going to work. It's not the way it's created to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So just like that, when we start to have a two split-minded way, the world or God, we cannot fulfill what it is we're supposed to do. Something or someone is going to miss out. And purity of heart, on the other hand, is to will one thing, full and total allegiance to God. That regardless of what comes in, regardless of what opportunities come my way, my heart needs to stay true and pure to Jesus in the midst of everything. Never take anything on that you know is going to compromise the purity of your heart. In a work context, I've been asked a couple of times in different jobs to do things which I knew weren't lawful or respectful or honourable. And I've had to stand and kind of say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Oh, come on, it's not a big problem. You've only got to put a signature here to say this, that, or the other. It's like, I can't do that. That's lying. I'm really sorry. I can't do that. And, you know, I've often found that most of the time you'll gain more respect because God can honour that. God can do something with that, and God can work with that pure heart. And can also set a message to the person. Anybody that's seen the film Courageous, have you seen that film? And one of the guys there's tested into by his bosses, and they ask him to lie about a shipment, and he stands his ground and he stays pure of heart. And they bring him in the next day and he thinks he's like, it's game over, he's going to get fired. But it was actually a test by his bosses. And they said, actually, you're getting promoted. You're the exact kind of person that we're looking for. That's the kind of honesty and honour that we are looking for in this company. Well done. Can you imagine if you were that person? Like, you spent the whole night before, it's like, oh, I'm going through this pure, oh, God, should I have done that? Oh, I've just got to stay true to you. And I love that because it's such a picture of what happens so often in real life. It's not just a film. It happens so often when people stand for God and stay pure and true to God. He's able to do something with that. So Let's bring it back round to Jesus then. We started with the words of Jesus, so let's finish with the words of Jesus. And if we're to look at the Gospels and think, okay, so where did Jesus explain purity of heart in this way of being single-minded and focused on only him? You'd go to Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not with part of your heart, not with a double or divided heart. That would be impurity and not the pure heart that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. Purity of heart is no deception, no double-mindedness, no divided allegiance, but full allegiance to God. Purity of heart is to will one thing, God's truth and God's value in everything that we do. The aim of the pure heart is to align with the truth of God and magnify the worth of God. If you want a pure heart, pursue God with utter single-mindedness, not split with something else, but sheer, determined single-mindedness for nothing but Jesus, and pursue that. And that's basically what purity of heart is to will that one thing, is to will what it is that God has got. Blessed are the pure of heart, so they shall see God. My prayer is that each and every one of us not only see God on that great day, but we see him daily. Because it's not just a one-time thing in eternity. It's a daily thing. We can draw near to God every single day. And that we don't get split allegiance and have an impurity in our heart that causes us not to be able to draw near to him in the way that he wants us to. We don't want to have to keep our distance from Father God. We don't want to have to keep our distance away from him. And praise God, we don't have to go through physical ceremony and rituals of purification. So long as we have that single-minded purity of heart spiritually, then we can draw near to God whenever we want. In the good times, in the hard times, in the celebration times, in the devastation times. God wants you to draw near to him. So he wants you to have that pure heart, because blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. That you will see God every single day, however that looks, in whatever form, whether that's a spiritual drawing near, whether that's a full physical manifestation of the heavenlies, a prophetic vision, whatever it is that God shows you. But my heart today is that we go from this place with total single-mindedness towards Jesus. That we say, we can truly say, okay, by the work and the grace of Jesus Christ, I am single-minded, so therefore I am pure of heart. Amen. Amen.